morning. I am Nicole, also known as Forever Cole. I'm a lot that I know and a lot that I don't know. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. I'm a nurse. I am a beginner model. I am creative. I'm learning who I am, but right now that's who I am. I'm a fun-loving person that works hard.
You didn't mention anything about being a girlfriend or a spouse. Why is that?
Because I'm not. I've done the marriage thing 3 times. And I've dated here and there, but right now I'm just focusing on me. And I'll date intermittently, but just enjoying Nicole.
3 husbands. When did you meet your first husband?
I was 16. I met my first husband braiding his hair. We had some mutual friends between the two of us, and there were these older guys that I had met. I met one at a restaurant, and when I say older, they were like 18, 19, 20, well, maybe 19, 20 times. In that age, and I was 16, they told me about my now first ex-husband needing his hair braided, and I was like, yeah, I can braid hair, you know, and I was just trying to have company over. I braided hair, but always braided my own hair, so I had never really done it on anyone else, and I was like, well, you know, yeah, I could do it, you know. And he came over and he was like the most beautiful person I'd ever seen. I was just like, oh, that's a gorgeous man, right? He's 19 years old. This is a gorgeous man. And, you know, I wanted him to like me because I didn't think I was very pretty. And if someone like that liked me, then, oh, then at least I'm something, right? I met him. I started braiding his hair. I was able to do it. I was braiding it underhanded though, because I hadn't quite perfected the overhanded. If you're a female that braids, you understand that. I was able to do it. And then he came back around, and I remember like wanting to play. I had a pool in my backyard. So I, you know, took him to outside to the pool with my little bathing suit on and trying to flirt. And I don't know, from there we just kind of started, I guess, quote unquote, dating. He was the first person to tell me he loved me. I didn't hear it growing up. I did not hear it growing up. And so when he told me he loved me, he was in a very vulnerable moment. And at least what I perceived was a vulnerable moment. And he was showing how sad he was, and then he told me he loved me, and I don't know, he meant it, or at least I felt like he meant it. And because I guess I had already had feelings for him, and that's what I wanted, it made it that more real.
When you say that you hadn't been told it growing up, are you, your mom, your...
So my mother is a my mother shows love differently, and unfortunately it wasn't through words or actions. I don't know. I actually asked her, you know, I not even asked her, I just told her, you know, like, hey, if, I don't know what I did to you, but if, you know, like, I'm sorry for whatever I did, but my mother was not a person that ever said I love you. When growing up in my household, I was very angry. She wasn't a happy person. And I think anger was something that she grew up in, And to her, that was normal. And she raised my siblings and I to be angry with one another. It was normal for her to cuss someone out and then be friends or be cool again months later, like it was nothing. It was parents fighting. Seeing my father leave out the hospital after having a big gash around his eyebrow, in and out of court systems. Well, not, I won't say plural, but I did go to foster care once, and we were taken from her, and we went back to, well, we went to my father, and somehow she got us back. But very angry.
What led you to being placed into the foster care system?
She'll tell you it's my fault. I was six. And my mother, I guess that was during the time frame when she and my father weren't together because they had this on-again, off-again relationship. And she was at work. I had gotten home from school. And instead of going straight home like I was supposed to, I went to a friend's house. That was like, they lived, so we were upstairs right here and they were downstairs right there. So like literally catty corner, right? I lost track of time. I'm a six-year-old kid and I was playing. And when I got home, she came to the door and I just saw in her face. I was like, oh, I'm gonna die today. It was a good life. But she beat me with a belt buckle. So the security guard, big brass belts. She had one of those. And she just beat me repetitively with just the buckle. The next day I went to school and you could see the bruises, and the teacher was like, Nicole, and touched me, and I jumped, and so they took me to my school guidance counselor, and you know, I think the worst thing you can do is lie to a child, man. I know I'm kind of going off the topic, but don't ever lie to children. Just be honest with them. Because she swore up and down my mother would not find out that she was telling, or that I was telling her. And I remember that day. I had to be in front of a police officer as a little girl, you know, and that's hard. That's a hard thing to do. But there was a female officer present, but there was a male. And it is the most embarrassing and humiliating thing to have to get butt naked in front of an officer, you know, especially as a kid. But I had to get butt naked so they could take pictures of my bruises. And I knew it was to help me. But at that time, as a kid, man, you're scared. But thankfully, I went to foster care that night. We ended up going to court the next day, I think. And then went to my dad's.
How did you end up having to go back home?
My mother's a beautiful woman. Well, she was. I don't know. I haven't seen her in a very long time, but when she was younger, oh, she was beautiful. You know, everybody says their mom is beautiful, but my mother was like, it's a very pretty woman. She's from England, so she had a little British accent. And then her parents are from the Caribbean, so it wasn't just an English accent, but it had a little bit of that Caribbean thing to it. And my parents loved each other, you know? And you know when you love somebody, you've been with somebody for so long, you know what to say to get back in a relationship with that person. And she knew what to say to win my father back. And then in the middle of the night, one night, she woke us up in the middle of the night in New York, got us dressed. We went to some relative's house. And then before I knew it, I was living in England. And they somehow, she and my father worked it out again. We lived in England for like a year. And we moved to Florida. And they stayed together for a little bit, made my brother. And then, I don't know, they just couldn't make it work.
Did she ever apologize? Did she ever try to have a conversation about what happened? Or was there ever any fallback on you from letting the people know about the bruises?
Oh, there's always fallback. There's never an apology. I can recall a conversation I tried to have with her when I was maybe 28. Maybe 28. Because I think that's the last time we've actually spoken. And it was in regards to my brother. Was in and out of foster care, to in and out of juvie, to in and out of jail. And this was one of the times he was in jail. And she was blaming me for him being in jail. And I was like, well, how is that my fault? But you keep bringing up when I was 6 and I told on you for like hitting me, and that's my fault. And she was like, it was your fault. So that woman's gonna die saying it's my fault. And there was always backlash. There was, my mother never liked me. I don't think she wanted a girl. I don't think she was ready to be a parent when she became a parent. You know, not everybody's meant to be a parent. I think she's just one of those people. Or she just needed to wait till later in life.
When did you start being physical with boys?
My mother would tell you when I was 13. I lost my virginity 2 weeks prior to my 16th birthday by someone whose name I don't even know. I was working as a grocery store as a bagger, right? Because I was 15. And this guy, you know, now I look back, this guy had to be older than what he said he was. Yeah, it's open. And I was just so young and naive and stupid. But he gave me his number and was like, would come around the store trying to like see me. And I thought that was so cool. And this older guy likes me. And one day he picked me up from work. Took me to his place. And that's what he wanted to do. And I was too scared and too, I didn't want to be seen as like this young person to even say anything. And had sex. Was not as amazing as the movies. Well, I didn't stop. I didn't have sex with him again. And it wasn't like I even wanted to perfect it. It was like, I knew people liked me, and I didn't know why they liked me, but I knew they wanted to have sex with me. And it's not like anybody that wanted to have sex with me could. It wasn't anything like that. But like, if I was, oh, this is the person I'm seeing, or like he was my quote unquote boyfriend. So it was two different people after that, before meeting my first husband. So by 16, I slept with three different people. Yeah. But it wasn't like I just went gallivanting around like, oh, let me try this. It was just... So we have been dating for a while. But then I learned that he had, I think at the time, no, she said fiance. Yeah. Then he had a fiance. And she had called. I guess she had talked to my mother, which I wasn't even supposed to be on the phone. So I got in trouble for that. But she had told her, like, yeah, we're engaged. And so I talked to him about it. And he's telling me, no, she's crazy. She's not engaged. We're not engaged. We broke up a while ago. And blah, blah, blah. And of course, I wanted to believe him. But I didn't trust him. Because although I knew my mother was telling the stuff to hurt me, like, I knew it was true, you know? I mean, I didn't believe the whole fiance thing. I don't know why. I just didn't want to believe it. But so I had my ex, who was also seeing somebody at the time. But they were going through it from what he had told me. He wanted to come by, and we used to hang out. Like, we would hang out, no funny business going on. We would just chill, talk about stuff. Well, that day we were actually starting to have sex. And then I got a phone call from my boyfriend at the time, which is my first ex-husband, saying he wanted to come see me. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I wanted him to come, but I was trying to make excuses to stall him. I said, well, if you come, you can't come until such and such time. And he's like, well, I don't know, it's no big thing, but either way, he came when he was ready to come, right? And I was trying to sneak him, the ex, out. I was like, climb through the window. And
We have bushes in front of my room, so he wasn't going to climb through the window. So I tried to get him out the front door. I was trying to maneuver my ex-husband out through this other way. And he saw him walk out, and he looked at me, like, so disgusted. He was like, I thought you were better than that. Or he said something along those lines, and it tore me apart. It made me feel like the biggest hoe ever, right? Like, I was like, But instantly, we didn't have sex that night, just to be clear. The one that came over, it didn't go there. We were starting. No, but he left, and I was really sad. Like, I was crushed because I already, like, really cared about him. And I knew in my head it was probably more like, at that time, as young as I could be, I loved him. And I knew I loved him. I knew I loved him as much as I could love a person at 16. And I think even at that point, we had migrated to where I was getting closer to 17. But yeah, then he came around. His grandmother had passed away. And he came over and he cried and he was really upset. And that's the first time he had cried around me. He was just, he told me how much he missed me. And then, remember that Jagged Edge album? I think it was J.E. Heartbreak. He had played that song, that whole album, and then told me, like, that he loved me. And he had me at that point. In my head, he played that for me. And at the time, he did play it for me. There's no telling if he played it for others. But at that moment, I was special. And I was really special to him.
In your book, you wrote that you firmly believed that you were unlovable and that love was unattainable for you. And that him saying, I love you that night, opened up a can of loyalty that will last for years. It was something about that night. It was something about him. As you look back on it, what are your feelings now about that night? Your feelings now about that feeling of comfort that came from him.
I know that I'm thankful for that day, despite what all came after that. I'm thankful because I didn't think I could be loved. I didn't know what love really was. But even something, I don't know. I just felt like he meant it.
Tell me about the proposal.
There are two proposals. So the first proposal was without a ring. The first proposal was after he had got caught cheating. He had just graduated from obtaining his CDL and they were having a party and I was pregnant. And he convinced me that I should hang out over my friend's house while he went because he said it would be just nothing but a bunch of men. Spouses aren't really going. And so the next day I woke up, noticed all around the house that all my stuff was gone. Like, it was like I didn't even live there. Like, all my stuff was hidden. And I noticed my shoes were placed somewhere that they were never placed. And then he woke up really early because he had to go and take care of some business. And just something didn't feel right. Like, my intuition, like, something did not feel right. And I looked in his phone, saw a name that just wasn't the name that I'd ever heard come from him. And it wasn't a name that was good from my past. So it was like, who's this? And I called, and a young lady kept answering the phone, saying that person wasn't there, but then told me her name, which was the extension of the name that was given. And I told her I would call her back. When he left, I left. He had a vehicle. I did not. So I was jumping over fences. In a hoodie and sweatpants in Florida. Stupid. But I was also like a big tomboy. So jumping fences were nothing, but I shouldn't have been doing it pregnant. Don't jump fences pregnant. but talked to the girl. She told me everything that was going on, and he got caught. Infamous three-way, right? And then not even a couple days later, he took me up to where he was getting his truck driver license. Like, he had to go fill out something or something. He was like, he comes back out and he's like, yeah, I was just telling people, the guy in there, that my fiance and baby are in the car, and I didn't say anything. And he's like, so you're not going to say anything? And I was like, to what? And he goes, I just proposed and you're not going to say anything. So I said, yes, that was my first proposal. My second proposal was, he had came home from his first job with his CDL. I guess he had found a ring, and I was laying on the bed, and he was like, you love me, right? And I was like, yes. And he was like, that's my baby. And I was like, yes. And he said, and you'll never hurt me, right? And I was like, yes. And then he had the ring and said, will you marry me? And I was like, yes. We had a good marriage for two people that got married at 18 years old that did not discuss life goals. Where they saw each other in a certain amount of years. We did not talk about money. We did not talk about budgets. We did not talk. It was a good marriage. But it was a marriage with a lot of infidelity. A lot of infidelity. It was a marriage of two people that were just growing apart. It was, he was a person that I used to want to be like. Like, I love the fact that he can talk to almost anybody, right? Without a worry, without a fear, just talk to somebody. he would socialize, and he would like do little things to make me laugh, even if it meant like somebody would be getting something from the grocery store and he'd be like, is that good? What do you do to it? Like, just, and he would like pick with them, but that would crack me up. And so he was a very romantic person. Very romantic. And when we were together, he was a good father.
When did things change?
I think I had reached a point of just being tired. I can honestly say I am the reason we did not stay married. And I say that because I gave up. I don't regret giving up. I needed to give up. I had never had an orgasm in our marriage. And with all the cheating he was doing, you figure that would have been going on. But it was just, I had this girlfriend that told me about like toys, right? And I was like, she was talking about an orgasm. And I was like, oh, they're not all that. It's not that serious. And she's like, you've never had an orgasm. And I was like, yeah, I have, I think, you know. And she took me to a sex, like, you know, an adult store. When I was like 25, 26. I'd had my son already. And it was right before we left Illinois. So, yeah, I was like 25. I used the toy for like a year. Never told him. I would go in the bathroom, would use it, take a shower, go, you know, go to bed. And one day I was tired of using the damn toy. I was like, hey. So I sat down with him, and it was so hard for me to tell him, but I didn't know what to do. So I told him that I never had an orgasm, and it spiraled into like, oh, you must be cheating on me. You're cheating on me. You're cheating on me. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, I'm telling you what's going on. But so I was being accused. At a certain point, I was like, oh, fuck it. Then I'm a cheat. If you're going to keep telling me that I'm doing it and I'm not doing it, I'm going to do it. I might as well get in trouble for something I'm really doing, right? That was my motto at my mother's house. Like, I would always get blamed for stuff and I wouldn't be doing it. And if I'd be like, well, fuck it, then I'm going to do it. I had an affair. He did find out. Well, he had his guesses. He didn't know. I never confirmed it, right? And then he wanted to move. So we moved. And we were also having a lot of problems, like, because he kept accusing me. We were arguing. We were like, it was just bad. And I saw a glimpse of what my life could be like if I stayed. And at the time, we were in Wisconsin. And I was like, if I stay in Wisconsin, he was the one working. He was the one providing. He was going to get my kids. And if nothing else, I just wanted to, like, share our kids. But I knew I couldn't make it in Wisconsin by myself. Like, at least I didn't think I could. So we left. I convinced him we should move. We left. We moved to Maryland. And he started accusing me again. I had gotten a job. And I was working at night. But he was like, you're having an affair. And I'm like, I'm not having an affair. But he left in the middle of the night one day with our kids. And when he brought them back a week later, I told him about the affair. I confirmed it. And I think I was the coldest person I had ever been to him. He had never seen that side of me. Like, we were at IHOP. To this day. So we since then we've gone out to eat once, but it took him, I think I said it was like 14, so it took him 12 years, 10, 11 years to actually go to a restaurant with me. He would refuse. Apparently I said some really cold things. So here's the thing, when I'm mad, when I finally reach that level of like, I don't care, I really don't care. And I think I gave him like every detail of my sexual experience. Like, I think I was really cold. Like, he told me little things, but he was like, Nicole, like the things you said, and I believe whatever he says I said, I probably did. For the most part, I know I was cold that day. So I don't know how it was taken. I didn't care because he wanted to make our marriage work. And when he took our kids, I wanted nothing to do with him. We separated for a little bit. I discovered I didn't like being a single parent. It was very difficult. I had become a stripper for a while, which was very different. And I was working to provide for my kids and I wasn't really getting any help, because he went back to Florida. And then he came to get the kids for the summer. It was for Leah's birthday, so it was in May he came first, and we talked about working on our marriage and, you know, trying to get better. With the plan of me moving to Florida at the end of the summer. And so he came and he got the kids in June. So he came for Leah's birth, or my daughter's birthday. And then he came for June to come get all of the kids. And that's when we set the date. Like, it was coming back in August. I'm just going to stay here and work a little bit longer and just to build up, you know, some money. And then when he came back, he told me he didn't want to do it anymore. Like, magically, it was like, nah, I want to do this. And he had called me right before he came to tell me he didn't want to work on our marriage. And that was odd. It was like in July. And then in August, when he came to return the kids, he was like crying, like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what to do? And my oldest, as soon as they got off the plane, told me that there was another woman, what her name is. It's like, they've been to her house. So my kids, not even my kids, my oldest was telling me everything. And even despite that, man, we tried to make it work. She ended up pregnant. The one that he was seeing. And even then I was like, okay, we can work through this. It's going to be okay. I love the baby, you know. Oh, that was hard. That was hard. And what finally ended it, one day she called me, or she sent me a bunch of text messages of these photos that he was taking in our house naked and sending to her, and screenshots of everything that he was saying to her. And so that was making me not trust him more. And things got rough for us, or rougher. And he had lied to her and told her, like, she was in Illinois. So it was just like this whole big, I'm like, you thought you were going to hide that you with your kids and your wife? And the final straw leading up to that, though, there was two things. He had filed for emergency custody of our children. he didn't want him. He never wanted him. I'm sure like he wanted to be there more, but he didn't want him for the reasons he said he wanted him. And that was apparent because when he had him, he wasn't doing what he should have been doing for him. When I read the things that he wrote about me as a mother, I was done. That I was on drugs, that I was bringing men in and out of the house, that I was leaving the kids alone, like, that I was a bad mom. Just to hurt me. Because if nothing else in this world that I want to be, it's a good mom. That was one. And the second one is he went to go see his son. He had just begged me to, like, let's make it work. Like, literally begged me. And he went to go see his son. And he was gone for 4 days, 4 or 5 days, and didn't hear a sound from him. And that's when I knew it was over. I was like, why am I fighting for someone's affection? I deserve more. And that was the first time I ever told myself I deserve better.
What was the divorce experience like once you all finally decided to divorce?
Hell. I paid for a divorce three times. So I paid for it the first time. And in the law, in the state of Maryland, you have to be separated for at least a year. We were only separated. Like, after he brought my kids, I was like, I want a divorce. So they said no. I think it took me like 2 years to get divorced from him. So then I waited the year, and then I applied again, but there was something I didn't fill out correctly. So they tossed it, and then the third time I made sure I crossed every T and dotted every I. I learned a lot about documents with this man. And so yeah, it was tiring, but the divorce, that took a minute. It was, he didn't fight me on anything. It was just the way everything was handled with the courts. The courts is what made it take so long.
And when you were finally released, you were finally free. What was that like for you?
I wasn't free because I was already dating my second husband.
On the next Forever Cold.
Into the bathtub. Thank God nothing really happened to me. But even then, I got up. Your girl got up. I said, this mother hit me.
If you have a story to share, record a 60-second video and submit it for a chance to be featured on the next episode of My Story. Share your story to iDreamMedia, INC, at iCloud.com.
So after the Zoom call, I get off the Zoom call, go get in the shower. By the time I got in the shower, the downstairs was on fire. We were not alerted at all. When I say at all, it was just like, you have everything set You have a schedule. You have what you need. And then the next moment, it was gone.
But I can tell you this.
Tell him.
I'm talking to you. Your platform will expand. The step that you made on faith was a complete one. And there were people who actually advised you against it. And they made you feel totally crazy and asinine for stepping out on faith. But God said, because you stepped out on the water, Peter, Jesus said, I'm going to meet you there. And those who are expecting you to sink, tell them they in for a rude awakening. I also see sponsors. Yeah, they're coming. God. I say go to sleep at night because you go to sleep stressed, tossing and turning like, oh my God, is this going to work? Did I make the right decision? Blah, 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 blah. God said, go to sleep. I got you. Now I'm done with that.
Royal Retro, the ultimate one-stop shop for historic recreations of your favorite teams. Don't forget to use the promo code Brother Rick for a discount at checkout. Let's go.
They keep on reading to me. What is your plan? Do you really understand?
Attention business owners and high-level executives. Is your company's website ADA compliant? If you don't know, then it's likely that it isn't. Companies are being sued right now because their websites are not ADA compliant. Why? Because it's against the Americans with Disabilities Act compliance law. From small businesses, online marketers, realtors, e-com store owners, to doctor's offices, restaurants, nonprofits, medium and large corporations, nobody is safe. You may even know a company that's being sued right now because their website is non-compliant. You don't have to be a sitting duck any longer. Anexus Media Group has the best solution for you. Introducing Anexus ADA. Our new ADA compliance software allows us to offer you an entire suite of ADA compliant services that won't just put you in compliance, but also open your business up to the $650 billion disability market that you may not be serving right now. Our software will put you in position to meet the demands of several different areas of disabilities and inclusions based on need. Anexus ADA compliance software solutions will help get your content to people with limitations and make your quality content available in over 50 languages. Their experience with your website and company, now being compliant and inclusive, will be second to none. Anexus ADA compliance software addresses 32 points of disabilities. Anexus also provides award-winning customer support by an experienced team ready to serve your needs. Our software is also great for your SEO rankings. Google gives more relevance to sites that are ADA compliant. To get started, first, go to www.anexusada.com. Second, choose the right plan based on your company needs. Let us know who referred you on your form to get a discount. And third, submit your request. Lastly, a representative will contact you to process your request and email you detailed instructions for installation. Your personal representative will walk you through every step. We look forward to serving you.
The hardest part of the podcast journey is starting. It is time to take that first step. Begin your journey today.
Go to my website, www.boldbossybless.com, and use discount code OVERCOME to purchase the ebook, Overcome Obstacles, How to Overcome Obstacles and Turn Them into Success. Go to my website, www.boldbossybless.com.
There's like a fork in the road. Lord, I ask that you bring clarity and peace into their lives, into their homes, into their mind. Peace that goes beyond understanding, and love and light. Lord, let them be the example that others need to see. Let it pass on, because that's what we're doing. No man is an island, Lord. So I'm asking that you really strengthen us so we can strengthen the next person. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I love Jesus. So I'm going to say in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.